Giddy Bodhid Hari. Yashoda Nandana Vajrajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari. Gopichana Vallabha Giddivadadhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Manachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Asatar Sata Sri Sri Madhya's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsiko Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Sri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Dwarka Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai Srimati Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Gaur Premananda, Samaveda Bhaktivinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening, Text 20. Yam Ashritiendriyaratin Durjayan Ita Ashramahai Vayam Jayema Helabir Dasyun Durgapatir Yata Yam Ashrityendriya Aratin Durjayam Itara Ashramai Vayam Jayema Helabir Dasyun Durga Patir Yata Yamashrayat Indriya Ratin Durjayam Itarashramahai Vayam Jaye Mahelabir Dasyum Durga Patir Yata Yamashrayendriya Ratin Durjayam Itarashramahai Vayam Jaye Mahelabir Dasyun Durga Patir Yata Yashranya Aratin Dajaya Natarashwamai Vayamjaya Mahalabir Dasyun Durga Patir Yata Yashranya Aratin Durjaya Mitarashramahai Vayam Jaye Mahelabir Dasyun Durga Patir Yata Yamashrityendriya Ratin Durjaya Mitarashramahai Vayam Jaye Mahelabir Dasyun Durga Patir Yata Yamishityatin Vaishnavis. Yam, whom, ashritya, taking shelter of, indriya, senses, aratin, enemies, durjayan, difficult to conquer, itara, other than householders, ashramahai, by orders of society, vayam, we, jayema, can conquer, helabihi, easily, dasyum, invading plunderers, Durga Patihi, a fort commander, Yata, as, Translation performed by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. As a fort commander very easily conquers invading plunderers, by taking shelter of a wife, one can conquer the senses, which are unconquerable in the other social orders. Purport. Of the four orders of human society, the student or brahmachari order, the householder or grihastha order, the retired or vanaprastha order, and the renounced or sannyas order, the householder is on the safe side. The bodily senses are considered plunderers of the fort of the body. The wife is supposed to be the commander of the fort, and therefore, whenever there is an attack on the body by the senses, it is the wife who protects the body from being smashed. The sex demand is inevitable for everyone, but one who has a fixed wife is saved from the onslaught of the sense enemies. A man who possesses a good wife does not create a disturbance in society by corrupting virgin girls. Without a fixed wife, a man becomes a debauchee of the first order and is a nuisance in society, unless he is a trained brahmachari, vanaprastha, or sannyas. Unless there is rigid and systematic training of the brahmachari by the expert spiritual master, and unless the student is obedient, it is sure that the so-called brahmachari will fall prey to the attack of sex. There are so many instances of fall down, even for great yogis like Vishwamitra. A grihastha is saved, however, because of his faithful wife. Sex life is the cause of material bondage, and therefore it is prohibited in three ashramas and is allowed only in the grihastha ashrama. The grihastha is responsible for producing first quality brahmacharis, vanaprastas, and sannyasis. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So my congratulations to those of you who have taken the safe path. And wherever you are on your journey through life, whether you have been through all the different ashrams or you're entering into one of them, I wish you all success on your journey back home, back to Godhead. Although there are so many difficulties and to be overcome. I was looking at this last sentence here. The grihastha is responsible for producing first quality brahmacharis, vanaprastas, and sannyasis. So I was wondering how that was true. And for one thing, in order for there to be a grihastha, a brahmachari, or a sannyasi, or a vanaprastha, there have to be householders who are producing children. Because if there's no children, there's no population, there's no brahmacharis, there's no grihastas, there are no vanaprastas, there are no sannyasis. So, first of all, the grihastas, they produce the brahmacharis. They have children, male or female, who are either to be trained as brahmacharis, celibate students, or chaste girls who will eventually themselves have children. So, some of those brahmacharis, they may go directly into the sannyas ashram, but for the vanaprastas, the grihastas, they produce the vanaprastas, because that's what a vanaprast is. It's a retired householder. And from them come sannyasis also. Of course, in one sense, this is external and superficial, like Lord Chaitanya prayed, you know, I'm not a brahmachari, I'm not a grihasta, I'm not a vanaprastha, I'm not a sannyasi. He prayed like that. I'm not a brahmana, I'm not a kshatriya, I'm not a vaishya, I'm not a sudra. Gopi bhartra padakamala or das, das, anu das. I'm simply a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord of the gopis. So, whatever position one is in terms of one's progression through the ashramas, one should always take everything as Krishna's mercy and keep in mind these instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's one thing that occurred to me here. Another thing is the reference to the wife, the ideal wife, being a commander of the fort of the body, husband's body. Because the fort of the body is subject to the attack of the senses. And for the husband, you know, the attack on the senses can come in many ways. Just for the purposes of transparency, I should say that I was in the Grihastha Ashrama for about 10 years, way back when. So, I can remember living in a temple, and, you know, sometimes you're living in a temple, you're in a man's body, you may be married, but, you know, sometimes women, they want to talk to you for a different reason related to service or something. And I remember my wife once told the women in the community, if you want to talk to my husband, you talk to me. guarding the fort. So that kind of protection is necessary. And the words here are used, Dasyun Durgapati. Durgapati means fort commander. So Durga means fort. And if you're in a fort, that means it's difficult to get in or out of it. You know, so if you're inside being protected by a good fort commander, that's one thing. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Vedic literature generally, this word Durga can also refer to the goddess Durga, you know, the consort of Lord Shiva. And she has been given a difficult service. She's the commander of the fort, but in another sense, that she's there to keep the conditioned soul in the material body, within the fort of the material body, within the cycle of birth and death, within the fort of material existence. And in that fort of material existence, presided over by the goddess Durga, the wife and children are sometimes referred to as plunderers. You know, so that aspect of things is also there. For the Grihamedi, he's trapped in the fort of material existence. And the word Durga, Dur means difficult and Ga means going. So that means it's difficult to go in or out. When I was a college student, you know, I had some sense of social service. I felt, okay, I'm in a fortunate position. I should help those who are in a less fortunate position. So on campus, I learned there was this, I was going to school at a university in Washington, D.C., and one of the campus organizations was what they called the D.C. Jail Project. You know, students would volunteer to go into the D.C. District of Columbia jail to tutor students. So I volunteered to do that. So the prison is like a fort, a fortress, and it's difficult to get in or get out because there are guards there to kind of keep it like that. So we would have to do that. To get in, you know, the guards have to check your papers, go down the list, see if you've got anything on you that you're going to carry in to the prisoners, and then they let you in. And then to get out, you also have to go through a whole procedure. So this word Durga, it can be seen in a good sense, and it's ultimately all good from Krishna's standpoint, but from the standpoint of the inmates of this fortress that we're in now, it's not necessarily, you know, perceived as a good thing that we're being subjected to the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. But part of the reason for that is that we become victims of the senses. Devotees are meant to become go-swamis. Go means senses, swami means controller. So controlling the senses is an important aspect of life in Krishna consciousness. And you know, the primary sense senses to be controlled are the tongue, the belly, and the genitals. So it's stated here, you know, to get back to the positive aspect of things, is that for, you know, the wife and, you know, the husband, they're meant to mutually protect each other in Krishna consciousness. You know, the husband protects the wife protects the husband. And this is actually a very positive aspect of the Krishna consciousness process. And there are many examples given. Of course, you know, Krishna says that it's best to remain a brahmachari, but it's it can be a dangerous path, as stated here, on the safe side. You know, the grihastha is on the safe side in terms of dealing with the attack of the bodily senses, particularly in terms of sex desire, which we heard so nicely about yesterday, is actually a perverted reflection of the tendency of the soul to be experiencing prema, love of God. So on the spiritual level, that's there. But in the material world, it's reflected as kama, lust, material lust. And it's, you know, I was in preparing for this class, I was reading over different statements that have been made by Srila Prabhupada, other acharyas, and say, really, that is, that kama is the whole reason why there's a material world in the first place. It's the kind of like the driving force here, and unless it's transformed into love of God, it remains a very entangling force. So every one of us has to deal with that force, and it's something we have to all deal with. As Srila Prabhupada says in the purport here, the sex demand is inevitable for everyone. So one has to deal with that, either by being trained by a proper teacher or spiritual master to tolerate that urge and use that energy in Krishna's service, or by living as a proper householder. One has to somehow or other, in the drama of our lives, deal with this. And, you know, there's just so many examples, nice examples given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Like I've always liked the story of Kardama Muni. You know, he was one of the sons of Lord Brahma, and he was ordered to be a prajapati, a producer of population. And he meditated. He, you know, he was a yogi. He went to the forest, the hills, and practiced very austere meditation for thousands of years. Of course, it was in Satya Yuga, so people lived for 100,000 years. They could spend a few thousand years in meditation and practicing tapasya, and Krishna appeared in one of his Vishnu forms to Kardama Muni. And when the Lord appeared to him, Kardama Muni began to offer prayers and praise of him. And he was saying that, you know, foolish people, they approach you for satisfaction of material desires. And I know one should only approach you to serve you and glorify you. He said, but I'm very sorry, but I still have desires and I want them fulfilled, so I'm going to pray to you for a perfect life, you know, so that I can satisfy my desires. And the Lord said to him, you don't have to tell me that. I already know that. And I've arranged the perfect wife for you. Swayambhuva Manu has this beautiful, wonderful daughter, Devahuti. And the day after tomorrow, or tomorrow, I forget which one it was exactly, he's going to bring her, and he's searching for a husband for his daughter, and he's going to offer her as your wife. So that actually happened. And the Lord predicted, by her you'll have 9 daughters, and then you'll become renounced, and you'll achieve all perfection, you'll attain me. Plus, you'll leave your wife with a form of me. I'll appear as her son through you, and I'll instruct her in knowledge, and everybody will be happy. So she, Devahuti, although she was the daughter of a great king, Swayambhuva Manu, and, you know, she was a princess used to leading a life in the palace. She went to the forest with her husband and served him, and actually became quite thin and hair all tangled, but she expressed her desire to have children, and Kardama Muni kind of arranged for her to have many maid servants get her in a more proper condition of life, and he manifested a flying palace and took her on a tour all over the universe to the different planetary systems, and then had 9 daughters with her. And then he left. but before leaving, left her with a son who taught her the Sankhya philosophy, Lord Kapila Dev. So there are so many nice examples of successful relationships between husbands and wives that are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Many positive examples, and also examples of what can happen if one makes some mistakes in the way that one carries out one's solutions to these difficulties. But the safest thing is, no matter what ashram one is in, one should always have the insurance policy, at least I call it, of remembering Krishna in all circumstances. Because Tesham Sada Yukanam Bhajatam Pratipurvikam Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mamu Piyanti Te. Krishna will give one the intelligence to understand in which ashram one is best equipped to achieve the real goal of life, which is to ultimately understand one's eternal relationship with Krishna. Because all the relationships that we pursue in this material world are temporary. It's only on the platform of the soul, understanding that each soul, Jivaras Rupahoi Krishnara Nitya Das, that each soul is an eternal servant of Krishna. Of course, the first thing to understand is one is a servant. And then gradually in the process of devotional service, whether it's in the householder ashram or the brahmachari ashram or vanaprastha ashram, or sannyas ashram, one will come to understand eventually what that eternal relationship is. And of course, one won't be alone with Krishna. One will always be in association with other devotees of Krishna. And we're being trained for that now. Srila Prabhupada has created an association of devotees, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And in that association, we're learning how to be servants of Krishna, cooperating in harmony with other eternal servants of Krishna for his pleasure. So each of us has that to look forward to. Each one of us is an eternal spirit soul with an eternal relationship with Krishna. And we're on a voyage of discovery to discover what that relationship is. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments?
Okay. Haribo Prabhu, thank you. It was interesting to hear when you mentioned that Lord Krishna told him, I already know your desire. I know you want to get married, but you need this particular thing to Kashyapa. When he was making his humble petition.
You mean Kardama?
Yeah. Oh, Kashyapa, is it? Who's the Kardama? Kardama, yeah. So, but I was reflecting in Kim Priyavrata, he was the opposite. He actually was ready to go back to Godhead, and he was even ordered by his father and ultimately by Lord Brahma to come. Mm-hmm. And so I was wondering if you could just mention something in regards to that.
Well, even Brahma told Kardama that he ordered him to be a Prajapati. You know, in other words, Prajapati means you have to produce offspring. So that means you need a wife. So in a sense, even he was performing austerities to prepare himself for being a Prajapati. And his daughters from his relationship with Devahuti did go on to become the wives of different sages who were Prajapatis, and they gave birth to populations. You know, sometimes on television, there are shows about genealogy where, you know, they trace a person's ancestors. You know, like there's one show where the guy brings in movie stars, politicians, and tells them their ancestry. But if you really trace your ancestry all the way back, you come to one of these Prajapatis. You know, that's your real nature. But, yeah. Kardama Muni was also ordered. It seems like everybody gets an order at one point. Anything else, Maharaj?
Thanks for a very comprehensive class on the subject of learning how to deal with the subject of lust or sexuality and how it can overwhelm anyone, because we're all born with the desire to enjoy in one way or another. But the important thing is that from this class we have to understand that if a man should get married, that's not an automatic ticket back to Godhead, because it sounds like he's protected by his wife. And if he has that kind of protection, then what to worry about? You know, if he wants sex, he can always have it with his wife. He doesn't have to go hunting or searching or wandering here and there. But even in a household situation, one can become gradually attached and addicted to sexuality, even in as a householder, depending upon the individual. And depending upon his association, depending upon what he reads, his literature, depending upon his imagination, all of these things have their part. So, therefore, as Prabhupada mentions, that it doesn't pay to get married unless you actually have control over your sexual system. If you can't control it, then what happens? You become attached and you become addicted, and it controls you. So the point that's made is not to be controlled, and we can not be controlled by understanding the limitations of that kind of pleasure, and also the extension or of the other or spiritual kind of pleasure, which is actually always with a person. It never, a person who is very spiritually advanced, he's always in joy, he's always in ecstasy, always happiness, in different degrees. But it's a different kind. It's not something of simply flesh touching flesh. It comes from the heart, and it's spread from the heart all throughout the entire body. And when it spreads through the body, one is always feeling very joyful, and there's not a feeling of frustration, a feeling of disgust, a feeling of that one is wasting one's life or anything like that. Actually, real spirituality means is that it's always going on. It never stops. But it radiates from the heart where the soul is. So, therefore, it's not an automatic trip back to Godhead. We do have to control, even in householder life, and we have to make sure that we control in such a way that one controls, helps his wife as well as she helps her husband, and both help each other to enjoy and also to control. But everything has to be in drips and drabs and not an overwhelming yielding to sensual pleasure.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Thank you.